Tell us about the wild ride of log prices.
Well, mine have fallen again. A typical price is now $115 a cubic metre. Now, this move continues a roller coaster ride for log prices. They fell a year ago, rose again towards the end of the year, then fell, then rose, and have now fallen again. In May, prices rose in the aftermath of the COVID lockdown to $155 a cubic metre. They then began sliding to $129 in June and $115 in July. Rhys Brick of AgriHQ describes how this process began when prices boomed in May.
At the time, New Zealand had been out of the Chinese log market for a good 6 weeks, and New Zealand makes up a huge portion of logs imported to China, so Chinese buyers were really keen to get in and secure logs while New Zealand was back up and running. At the same time, you had the New Zealand dollar very low, so that added probably a good 10% to prices compared to normal, and shipping costs were extremely low too, just because global trade had fallen so far.
Okay, and what happened to make things change?
Well, dollar worked against exporters, so that swung back up to around about 65 cents for the last, I guess, month or so, so that's taken a chunk out of prices. Shipping costs are slowly creeping up, now the world gets back up and running again, and Chinese buyers, now they've secured a good amount of logs, they seem pretty comfortable with their position in terms of supplies, and if anything, supplies are still growing and above average compared to normal. So they're not as, I guess, desperate to secure logs, and just all those factors are just pulling the market down slowly.
At these prices, how profitable will logging companies be?
It really depends on the exact company situation. There are definitely some operations which are no longer sustainable, and others are completely fine. It really depends on the type of forestry block in question and the operation, because domestic log prices have managed to hold pretty much steady since the lockdown.
And they take about half of the product anyway?
Yes, yeah, domestic logs account for a little under half of logs produced in New Zealand.
Okay, so it's a drop, but it's not a disaster.
Yeah, exactly. Prices were ridiculously high when they did peak. So prices have snuck back quite a bit. They are below average, but in the grand scheme of things, it's definitely not a disaster at this stage.
That's Rhys Brick of AgriHQ. The first prosecution taken under National Animal Identification and Tracing, or NAIT, legislation has led to a dairy farm manager being fined $3,600. Raymond Arthur Griffin of Oronui near Wairaki was accused of failing to register over 1,000 animals. He appeared in Taupō District Court yesterday for sentencing. The court heard he had failed to register the animals when he moved them from a farm late last year. The judge described Mr. Griffin's offending as highly careless, given the educational approach taken by the Ministry for Primary Industries for a previous and similar offence. Mr. Griffin had faced a maximum penalty of a fine of $10,000. The Crown has rejected arguments that the Department of Conservation's cull of Himalayan tar will rob hunters of their traditional prey. A judicial review is underway at the High Court in Wellington of the Department's culling program, which aims to reduce tar to about 10,000 to help native tussocks. The plaintiffs say hunters were not consulted about the plan, and a new policy of targeting male or bull tar would undermine the hunting industry, putting more than 500 jobs on the line. But Crown lawyer David Lawrenson QC said the campaign against male tar was limited and would not cause the harm that was alleged.
It's only in national parks that bull tar are going to be targeted. It's not as if DOC's now saying we're going to target bull tar everywhere. They're saying now is the right time they've decided we're going to target them in national parks. But they're not targeting them anywhere else. They're still leaving them alone. So to that extent, they are taking into account the interests of hunters. And the other point about this, I will bring Your Honour to evidence to the extent that only a very small percentage of bull tar that are shot commercially are shot within national parks. A significant majority are shot outside.
That's David Lawrenson, QC. The argument about bull tar stems from their dramatic horns, which makes them an attractive trophy for hunters. These hunters argue the tar population could be kept under control by targeting the females. The New Zealand Dairy Industry Awards Trust says it'll look into historical comments made on social media by a recent award winner. Trust Chair Natasha Tear says it's been made aware of historical comments from 2020 Share Farmer of the Year, Nick Bertram, and it's now investigating. Her comments follow complaints by the animal rights group SAFE that Mr. Bertram's comments on social media were disrespectful towards animals. Natasha Tear says the Trust follows a robust and thorough judging process based on what's happening on farm today. She says entrants are judged on information presented and on the farming practices the person currently follows, and judges did not look forward and were not aware of historical social media comments. Finally, the dairy industry is welcoming changes announced by the Minister for Immigration this week. Ian Lees-Galloway has used his special legislative powers to extend temporary work visas by 6 months for some migrants already on shore. The extensions cover workers with essential skills and work-to-residence visas, as well as low-skilled workers on three-year visas. However, migrant workers who are stuck overseas are not included. Dairy NZ People team leader Jane Muir says the 6 month extension is excellent news for farmers, and the estimated 3,000 dairy farm employees whose temporary visas are due to expire. And another industry group also struggling with labour shortage is the pork industry. NZ Pork says it's pleased with the changes, but says it's still pressing for wider ranging and longer term solutions. And that's Aurora News for now.